have executive session. I'd like to move that to the end of the reports. Hearing no objection, we'll move that to the end of the reports. So first up, we'll have the first report of this evening, which is the RSP 2015-2016 enrollment projections. And I know we have Rob here tonight, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good evening.
And I'll turn it over to you.
Like every time I come here, I always have some good handouts for you guys to mull over. Appreciate this time this evening. We'll be fairly quick. This is more of a update and to help you understand where things are going from the last time we were here when we ended up doing quite a bit of the redistricting work, which appears to have been fairly successful with from what we've heard from administration. So tonight we'll briefly talk about some of the things in the model so you kind of understand some of the nuts and bolts. We'll get into what's happening with some of the development elements, and then we'll jump into some projections and some things that you may need to consider for some next steps. So in order for us to do what we've done, there have been a lot of different people that have been involved, ranging from the city, the counties, school district administration, and so this is our moment to thank them for providing the information that they have. Provide it to us, whether it was verbally or digitally, and you'll see what that means here towards the end of the reports. There's three things that I think you need to take away from this presentation, probably because we can only remember three things. The first is that enrollment's going to increase through 1920, and it's going to be less than 1%. You're going to be close to 23,000 students, K-12 students, with the way that we're tracking them, and we'll talk about that when we get to the projections. We also know that there's limited availability of land for future residential development, and that's going to impact what you see as we get 5 years and beyond. And then we also know that there may be some other opportunities available for space that could potentially allow for more elementary and middle school students to be in the system. And we may talk about some of those things as we move through as well. All right, when we started out on your project, you know we have to start with the district and what that geography is. And so this map is on page 13 of the report. It's kind of washed out here on the projection. But you can see there's some unique places in your district that would seem normal to be in your district with the islands and whatnot on the west side. Once we broke the district into the district boundary, we do it with your elementary boundaries. And these are the new elementary boundaries, the middle school boundaries, and as well as the high school boundaries. So we then further divide that into the planning areas, and I believe we have about 1,200 planning areas in your district, and those are broken out by the type of development. So is it non-residential, is it single-family apartments, duplexes, townhomes, mobile homes, all of those particular type of elements, we're tracking the demographics, the developments, and what's happening with enrollments. Here is a picture a little bit zoomed in. This is page 16 of the report. This shows you the power of all the GIS data that we have. The green, solid green lines being the planning areas. Faintly, you can see the parcels. Those dots represent the students. The larger the dot, the greater the grade. And you'll notice there's multiple dots in one particular area where they were geocoded, so reference their address to an address point in the district. That's how we know where every student is. This is a student forecast model, so it's not luck, it's the model, and we'll talk about the accuracy because it's been quite well. There's two ways that we look at your district. One is if it's already built out, and the second is if it's developing, and that's primarily on the west side and southwest side of your district where we're seeing new subdivisions come online. We're looking at what that yield rate may be as those homes are built and households move in. Different components that are made up in the model. We have cohort growth, so if we have about 1,000 kindergartners, what does that do over time? Does it increase or decrease as they become first graders and so on? We look at external growth, so the learning community students, what could possibly happen there? If you have a new facility that will be on the north side of your district, will that have an impact on those choosing to enroll here? Trying to factor in, of course, some of the legislative decisions that may have an impact on that. We have kindergarten change, so are we going to see more students or less kindergarten students? Probably the largest factor, if we get that right, we're most likely going to have a very accurate forecast. And, of course, the economy. I'm enjoying filling up for less than $2. I'm sure everyone is. It's actually a good thing here in this region. How long that lasts can have a driving force towards some of the costs you have with your construction project.